Hebrews chapter 12. Then if you'll find 1 Corinthians chapter 10 for later, we'll go over there here in just a little bit. 1 Corinthians 10. And just mark that with your bulletin or I just want to read one verse there out of Hebrews chapter 12. Pardon me. Verse number 1 there. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight," and get this statement, "and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." I want you to think about these scenarios. It's Sunday morning, you're getting your family ready, getting them together to go out the door, get in the car, go to church. The children begin to fuss about who's going to sit where, when, how, what, who's going to be first, and blah, 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 blah. And your response is, "Stop it! You get in the car right now, sit down, be quiet, just stop it." Okay, y'all are more spiritual than I have been in the past. Okay, think about this then. There's a Saturday afternoon. You're doing work around the house, trying to get things done, have a plan of what you're going to accomplish before the day's over. It's not looking like you're going to be able to complete the list that you had planned out by the evening. And you think that everybody needs to pick up the pace. So you gather the family together and the kids together and all that. You voice your displeasure while barking out orders about who needs to do what and when, and the chores got completed, let's say, but the spirit of the family's tanked. Everybody's not happy about what's going on. Or maybe it's a weeknight and it gets close to bedtime and you go to your children's room to pray with them, and you get there to the room, everything's just a wreck. I mean, just a mess. And so you immediately jump into the sergeant mode. "I thought I told you earlier to get this mess cleaned up. Now you get off your bed. You get this stuff done now." Well, what a great way to finish your child's day, isn't it? Oh, did I tell you the name of the lesson? The name of the lesson is, "Well, I'm just irritated." Okay, we better read this again then. "And the sin which doth so easily beset us," lay that aside. You know, irritability, it's really far too common in all of our lives. All of our lives. Nevertheless, it is a sin. When our emotions get out of control, it's sinful. God, we were created emotional beings, but when our emotions get out of control, it's just wrong. It's wrong. And it's a sin that not only affects us, but all that it becomes a target, all that becomes a target of it. It proves how prideful, really, and how selfish we can be while being a real detriment to relationships with family and friends and even co-workers at times. If we're not careful, we'll let things get out of control. Our irritation is a burden to others because our irritation can cause them to be angry or hurt at the way that I have acted, at the way that I have handled things. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." It's one of those things that we need to work at laying aside. I do believe that. I mean, we are supposed to be Christ-like, right? I don't see Jesus, even when he was walking with those guys here, you know, when he was on earth, and several of them were not heads. Would you agree with that? Well, at least one, Peter, you know. But they had their own problems, didn't they? And he walked with them for 3.5 years. He lived with them for 3.5 years. I just don't ever see him getting irritated, do you? And just jumping down their throat. No, there was times that he confronted them, but I don't see him out of control. And we are supposed to be Christ-like in everything. It's easy to carry a Bible to church. It's easy to come to church. It's easy to do those outward things, but sometimes if we're not careful, things get out of control and we don't act Christ-like. We act less than Christian, and this is one of those things that, well, it can hurt us if we're not careful. When we tend to get irritable, I think you'd agree with me somewhat on this, we tend to want to blame something or someone for it. We want to blame somebody else because we're irritable. I mean, we're quick to try to explain away how we act because of what they have done or how that something has not worked out the way that it was supposed to work out, and that makes us irritable. It's that. And if we're not careful, we get to thinking, well, if they were just different or if the situations were different, we wouldn't be like this. And we can go on with that list. If I wasn't so tired, or if I wasn't so stressed, if I just felt better, I wouldn't act this way. But the Bible sees it as a heart problem. The Bible sees it as a failure to love. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Talking about love, of course, charity. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. So along those lines, let's think, does God get irritated? 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, wait a minute. Wait. If God is love and love is not provoked, then how can God be provoked to anger? Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 22 says, and at Taberah, and at Massah, and at Kibroth Hatteavah, ye provoke the Lord to wrath. Now, there's some people that think because God gets angry that he must have times of irritability. But think about this. Being provoked to anger is not the issue here in general. There is such a thing as righteous anger, isn't there? I mean, righteous anger. When God gets angry, is it sinful? Well, heavens no. God can't sin. It's not that way. He's not out of control when he gets angry. In your accounts of reading the Bible, would you say that it takes a lot to get God angry? Oh yeah, I'm thankful. I'm very thankful it takes a lot to get him angry. In fact, God is the epitome of patience and the epitome of long suffering, and I'm very thankful for that. And there are times, aren't there, that we too have necessary reasons to be angry. I mean, really angry. 1 Corinthians 13:5, the Apostle Paul's talking about those that have a short fuse. I mean, those that are easily provoked to anger. Those that always seem to be exasperated about something. Because he talks about being easily provoked. Easily provoked. See, it takes a lot to get God angry. But he's never irritable. Our God, he's never irritable. When he gets mad, when he gets angry, you can rest assured there's a good reason for it. I mean, a good reason for it. Such as when the glory of his holiness or righteousness or justice are tread upon. That brings him to anger, because he is a holy God. And when his goodness and direction are despised and dishonored, we know that there were a lot of people in Old Testament times that paid the price for dishonoring God. Isn't that right? Come on, we have to think about this. We have to think about who God is and what makes him angry. He has every right as God during those times as God to get angry. And his anger, when unleashed, is the most devastating and terrifying thing that any conscious being could experience. Excuse me. But it's always thoughtful and faultlessly appropriate and perfectly measured. God makes no mistakes. No. God's never had to say, man, I shouldn't have got so mad about that and done those things. God's never had to do anything like that. Everything he's done perfectly. Now, again, we're supposed to be Christ-like. We're supposed to be Christ-like. That's what Christian means, Christ-like. We're to be slow to anger. James 1:19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." And we can be angry, but Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." So we can be angry. There is such a thing as righteous anger. Something is out of line. Something has gone wrong. I mean, there is such a thing as righteous anger, but righteous anger is not sinful. Be ye angry and sin not. So let's touch this thing about irritation. Let's touch this. Irritation, from what I can figure here, is born out of selfishness. Irritability does not grow out of righteousness. It grows out of selfishness. And really, it's probably a besetting sin in a large percentage of Christians' lives. And we don't like to think about it like that. We don't like to think about it as sin. I don't like to think about it as sin when I get irritable like that. But I mean, truly, if we measure everything by the Bible, which we should do, it is our plumb bob of what we're doing right and wrong. It's one of those sins that can spring up in an instant, can it? I mean, you can be in a great mood, and then something go wrong, and immediately you're not in so great of a mood. All of a sudden, it seems even that we can get out of control if we're not careful. For the most part, our irritation really doesn't stem from God's righteousness being challenged. Now, at times, not irritation, it's not wrong. Be angry and sin not. It's not wrong. I'm angry about some things that are going on in the United States right now. I'm angry. I get angry at some of the lawmakers that tread upon our rights and what God would have for us. I'm angry with the abortion crowd. I'm angry with them that they continue to kill children out of the womb. I'm angry with some things that are going on in our streets today. I'm angry about those things. And we can be angry, and there is such a thing as righteous anger, and we can be right about those things. But most of our irritation on our part, everyday irritation, it doesn't stem out of those things. We become irritated or easily provoked when something upsets our apple cart, and something doesn't go the way that we think it should go, the way that we wanted it to go. When something that we want is denied or delayed or interrupted at times, it gets to us. It kind of works like this. When I'm tired and I want to rest and that rest gets interrupted or denied, then I get irritated. Or when I'm lost in thought, I'm trying to meditate upon God's Word. I want to focus. I'm trying to study. I need that time, but that's interrupted. I get irritated. Or when I'm disappointed because I want my desire fulfilled, but if that's denied or even delayed or interrupted, then I get irritated. Or say I'm enjoying something, doing something, and I want to continue until I'm done with that, whatever it might be, but that's interrupted, then I get irritated. But when you become irritable, it is an unloving, unrighteous anger, because the irritation sprung up from you not getting what you wanted. You want your kids to act right, and they don't. You want everything to go a certain way in your day because you got it all planned out, and it doesn't. And what you were wanting, now listen please, what you were wanting may not be sinful, but the selfish response is a failure on your part to always put your trust in God. Because we are supposed to trust God in all things. Is that not right? I mean, in all things, all parts of our life. He's concerned about every second of our life. Psalm 62:8 says, "Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." God's timing and God's plans are always perfect. They're always perfect. The trying of our faith worketh patience. We don't like that a whole lot, but it's really true. Everything that God allows in our life, He allows trying to get us someplace. Trying to mold us, make us, shape us. He knows what our weaknesses are. Isn't it something? Don't you know that one person that, I mean, the whole world can be falling apart around them and they're just happy. It doesn't matter. Nothing upsets them. Nothing irritates them. Everything. They make me irritated. Mercy. Oh boy. Irritation can also stem out of our failure to love and serve someone else. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." What does that mean? It means we're supposed to put others before ourselves. Isn't it something that it seems that the easiest place to get irritated is at home with your family, the ones that love you the most and the ones that you love the most? Seems like that's the easiest place to get irritated, but we're supposed to prefer one another. We're supposed to put others before ourselves. Jesus didn't die for rest or recreation or relief or reputation or relaxation. He died for us. He died for all of us. I mean, He loved us that much. And it could very well be that one of you are being irritable with the one that you are being irritable with. Come on, brain. The one that you are being irritable with is way more valuable than your own selfish desires. Very well could be. I was raised in a drunkard's home. My dad was a drunk. He's a cowboy, but he liked his booze, and he wasn't a very patient guy. He was easily irritated, and he told me a lot of things along the way as I was growing up that stuck in my head that pretty much got me to a place of believing that I wasn't worth anything. And we have to be careful, don't we? We get irritated. Things come out of our mouth that we wish would have never come out of our mouth. We begin to act toward people the way we never should have acted toward people. And hopefully we go back and apologize for those things, make those things right. And irritation just stems from not getting our own way or not loving the way that we should. But it can cause people problems. It can really hurt. That whoever wrote that thing, "Sticks and stones can may break my bones, but words can never hurt me," they weren't on track with that. Because words and actions can be very hurtful, can't they? And so we have to be careful. And it does seem like we lose control way too often with the ones that we love the most, and the ones that love us the most. When we allow our flesh to rise up because of our own desires, whether they've been interrupted or what, there's no way we can label that as righteous anger. We can't justify it, much as we would like to, may like to. We can't justify it. It's not like that. There are times for righteous anger, but there's never a right time for irritability. Because the Bible said, we read it, that love is not easily provoked. It's not easily provoked. So what we need to do then is we need to stop being irritable. Well, that's real easy for you to say, standing up there this morning, staring down at us. But what do I do, preacher? I mean, how do I stop this? How can I overcome this? What in the world am I supposed to do? I mean, can I really overcome this? Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I've got a plan. Well, tell me what I'm supposed to do. Stop it. Let me give you a couple of things. A little bit more than that. Let me give you a couple of things. That's the way I like to counsel at home. People come in for counsel. They say, Pastor, I'm having this trouble. I'm doing this and that. And shouldn't, you know, I'm saying, okay, well, stop it. Anyway, so it hadn't worked real well yet, but, you know, I'm still working on it. I'm a few more years trying to learn how to pastor. Anyway, I wouldn't ask for a show of hands, but this is a question. I am going to ask the question, and I'm not looking for a response, but is there anyone, okay, I'll put it like this. Is there anyone else in here that would say they have a problem with habitual selfish irritation? We have to work hard. We have to work hard at this. No, this is a hard thing. Come on, but we are supposed to have temperance. Add your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance. That means that it's control. We're supposed to have that. God says we're supposed to have that. We're to add that to our Christian life. Add that to our faith, that temperance, being under control. So we have to work hard at this and retrain ourselves. It takes a retraining of ourselves. Well, I tell you, if they would have just, that's what we're talking about. Because guess what? They are going to keep doing things like that and things like that. And it's going to be that way the rest of our lives. Things are going to happen that we wish would have not. I would just wish that wouldn't have happened and I wouldn't act like this. Well, no. I mean, we got to get to a place where when those things happen that we can react correctly. And God has the answer for everything, doesn't He? Come on, God doesn't want us to do dope or drink or cuss or all these different things, absolutely. But He does want us to be a good person too. You know, Christ-like, Christian, in all that we do, that we can handle these situations when they come up. Because mercy sakes alive, if we can't handle it with the ones we love, if we can't handle it with our children, our grandchildren, if we can't handle it with that, how else are we going to show them Christ-likeness if we're not being Christ-like? And so we have to work on these things. I mean, it's important that we do work on things such as this. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, I'm going to give you an acronym for STOP, using the first, the letters of STOP for things, S-T-O-P, and it may help someone to overcome the next time that the irritation trigger is pulled. We need to be mindful of where we're at and how we act, how we react, and all. So the S, for the S, I just have stop. Stop, repent, and ask. What do you mean, preacher? You know, when you catch yourself, have you ever caught yourself? I mean, I try to. I mean, when all of a sudden something just immediately irritates, you're having a good day, and all of a sudden something happens, just, I can't believe. I mean, we have to get to a place, prayerfully, where we're asking God to help us, that when the moment that the, how do I say that? The moment that your cork pops, that you just stop right there. And you may have to stop yourself in mid-sentence. No, I'm to retrain. We're talking about retraining here. You may have to stop yourself in mid-sentence. Somebody, something happens, somebody all of a sudden you're irritated. I can't believe. And you may have to stop yourself right there. But it will be, I guarantee you, it will be worth it to repent of that besetting sin right then and there. Just stop. And I don't know if anybody likes to taste a humble pie. But sometimes we just have to take a bite of humble pie and we just stop. Even if you stop yourself mid-sentence, it's just like, oh. Well, I shouldn't have reacted like that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been that way. I don't want to be that way. Would you forgive me for that? No, I'm telling you. No. We're talking about retraining ourselves to where this doesn't overcome us and it doesn't hurt others. And you know what this will do? This will teach children, grandchildren, whoever you're around. It'll show them something. There's nobody that was any more humble that walked the face of this earth than Jesus Christ himself. And we're supposed to walk in that humility. We're supposed to walk in that humility. Well, that's hard, preacher. You're not telling me anything I don't know. Absolutely so. But if we don't practice it, how are we ever going to manage it? If we don't do things like this, how are we ever going to retrain ourselves to be Christ-like, the way we're supposed to be Christian the way that we are supposed to be? So we stop, and we repent right then and there. And then I said to stop and repent and then ask, what was my desire at that point that was denied or interrupted or delayed that started all this? Why did I react like this? Why? What was it about this that just set me off that way? It's good. No, it's good for us to think every once in a while and think through these things. And then ask God for the help that we need. Lord, I don't want to be like this. I don't want to act like this. I want to be what you had had me to be. Look, God saved me by his grace 37 years ago, and any good change that's been made in my life has come from his grace also. I've not only been saved by his grace, I've been changed by his grace. And once he saves us, it's a lifelong work to change us, isn't it? Come on, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 29, we are being conformed into the image of his Son. That's every born-again believer. We're to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. You know what I found out about conforming something? It takes pressure. There's some pressure involved to conform anything. And boy, when God begins to change our heart, change our life, the way we act, the way we live, all these different things, I'm telling you, we have to be ready for that conforming process. And then when we think through these things and what was it that caused me to act like that, then we can better guard against it next time before we make that mistake again, before we fall all over ourselves again, truly. And then T. S, stop, repent, and ask T. Trust a promise from God. I love, and probably the most well-known verse in the Bible, John 3:16. I love John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm very thankful for that verse. I'm thankful that the promise is there, I'm very thankful. And that verse is very true, isn't it? Oh, no, absolutely so. But you know, all the other verses in this book are true also. And God really does have answers for us in this book of how to live our life while we're here. This isn't everything God knows. This is just everything we need to live the life that God has for us while we're here. And that's why it's important. And I know that's why your pastor tells you to read your Bible, encourages you to read your Bible and stay in the Word of God, hide it in your heart, all these things. I mean, that's why he does that. He's not doing that just for something to do. He's doing that because we need that. We need those promises from God in there. We need to be able to draw that out of our heart. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Now that's a wonderful promise from God. He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. We can trust God if we'll believe his word. Well, you just don't understand me because you don't understand and you don't understand. I mean, this just is who I am. Well, no, I understand that completely. I understand this also. God doesn't want us to remain who we are after he saves us. He wants us to become who he would have us to be. because His life is much, His plan for our life is much better than our plan ever was for our life. And He wants us to have a joy-filled life. And it's really hard to have a joy-filled life when we're irritated all the time, when we're irritable about different things. So, I mean, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And that would be all things. That doesn't mean that just the horrible sins that we need to stop after we get saved or whatever the case may be, that we can do all things through Christ, all things. I mean, if we're trusting Him and we're believing Him and we're really trusting His Word, I mean, he can change us, mold us, make us. He can change us completely. I mean, absolutely change us completely. So we have to trust God to help us overcome this irritation in our life, this irritability. You know, it's an amazing thing when you can get to a place where you can where you can give a soft answer when somebody comes after you. Okay. It's pretty easy to get irritated when somebody's irritated at you, isn't it? Oh, come on, you're having a good day too, and all of a sudden somebody there gets irritated, and so you're going to be irritated. Boy, y'all are more spiritual than me for sure. But boy, if we are working at this, well, I wish those so-and-so, stop right there. No. God's not worried about, well, God can take care of so-and-so. We're talking about us now. It's good that we work on us or allow God to work on us, because if someone else gets irritated at us and all of a sudden they go off, it's good that we can give a soft answer. I'm sorry you're so irritated. If I was the one that irritated you, I'm sorry about that. I wouldn't do that for anything. I'm just trying to help. I just needed some, whatever the case may be, whatever the answer might be. But I mean, there's no reason. I tell people that come in for counseling, marriage counseling, different things, takes two people to argue. Takes two. And so, I mean, if we are at a spot where we are in control, where God has given us good grace to overcome these things, I mean, when somebody else gets irritable, irritated, whatever, and we can just remain the way that we should be as Christians, it helps the whole matter. But go on, it'll help the whole spirit of a household, won't it? I mean, the whole spirit of a family, truly. It's a good thing. But we do that by trusting a promise from God. God can help us overcome these things. I mean, He can keep us on track. Okay, S-T-O-O-O. O is for obey. Obey. Obey what? The Lord. Does God want us to be irritable? No. No. See, our emotions are gauges. They're gauges. They're not guides. They're gauges. And God gave us our emotions. There's nothing wrong with emotions. Not a thing until they get out of control. Anger is just an emotion. That's all it is. Well, I just can't help myself. Oh, no. With God's help, you can. You can. We can't allow our emotions to rule us. We can't allow our emotions to run our lives. Before I got saved, I was a very angry person. Very out of control person. I mean, I tore up a lot of stuff just because I got mad, which was stupid. I can say that because I'm talking about me. Just stupid. I hurt a lot of people. Just because I got mad, out of control, let my anger get out of control. It was just stupid. Mercy. If we just are obedient to God, You know, it's an amazing thing. Aren't you glad that when you get saved, the Holy Ghost comes to live with you? I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I got saved out of a horrible lifestyle and all those years ago. And man, the Holy Spirit moved in and began to convict me when I was wrong. Don't you love that? No, I love it. I mean, even today, I pray, Lord, I want to be tender to that still small voice. If I do something wrong, I want to be able to acknowledge it right then. I want to hear. I want to know. I mean, isn't it a wonderful thing? I mean, truly. And so once we are saved by the grace of God and He begins to work on us and He is there for us. I mean, if we are in the Word of God at all, and if we are seeking God and wanting to be what God would have us to be, He can help us in this. So that when we get out of control, I'm telling you immediately, I mean, He'll speak to our heart. Whoa, whoa, hold on a second. You're supposed to treat those people different than that. Who in here would say that God treats you better than you deserve? Oh, yeah. You know what we are supposed to do? We're supposed to treat others better than they deserve. In turn, truly, we are. This is one of those places where Christianity, where the rubber meets the road. You know? I mean, it's easy to look spiritual. It's easy to greet the brethren, you know, when you come into the church house. How are you doing? Everything good? Oh, yeah, everything just... But I'm telling you, when things like this, when it comes down to obedience and keeping our emotions in control the way that God would have us to do, I'm telling you, it can be another story, can it? But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit inside of us, He will help us with that. Truly, He's there for us. And if we are asking for help, boy, we're going to talk about that later today. If we're asking for help from God, He'll give it. Lord, I need You to do something in my heart. I need You to do something in my life. I need You to convict me when I do this. I'm having a hard time controlling these things. Lord, I need Your help. I can't do this. I'm telling you, our God is there for us. And if we're just obedient to Him, we have to practice love in faith. We practice love. Oh, boy. I'm so glad. I am so glad that God loves us the way that He loves us. Because really and truly, He should have taken me out a long time ago. But He's very long-suffering and patient and kind. All those things we're supposed to be as born-again children of God. We're supposed to be all those things. Kind, forgiving. All those things. It takes work. It takes work. I'm not standing up here saying I'm perfect. Don't say anything, dear. My wife testified on me. I'm not standing up here saying I have arrived but I'm telling you, it takes work, but love can overcome our emotions. I know the Lord looks at us through eyes of love, doesn't He? For God so loved the world, through eyes of love. Well, if we could get that down. Because it really is true. It seems easy at times to hurt the ones we love the most, the easiest. I mean, it's easy to hurt the ones we love the most if we're not careful. So love obeys. In John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So we listen to Him and we're obedient to Him. Okay. And P is for plan. Plan. What do you mean there, preacher? Well, think about those times that you seem to be most easily irritated. This may take some sitting down and thinking about some things. But it's not a bad thing. It's going to help us, you know. Think about those times and then act in love to guard against the temptation to be irritable. And again, it takes spiritual discipline. Really, Lord, you're going to have to help me in this. Okay, let's go a little bit further then. If you're brave enough, pardon me. Excuse me. If you're brave enough, ask the one that knows you the best. The ones that often end up the target of irritability. Ask them, how are you doing? Be brave enough. And then just have a plan. Have a plan of action when you feel it springing up. I mean, before it comes out. You know what I'm saying? So you don't have to stop and repent before it comes out. Have a plan. First Corinthians 10. Turn over there. We'll finish up this lesson. Finish up. First Corinthians 10. In verse number 13. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now that's a wonderful promise from God, truly. It says that God is faithful, and He'll not suffer us to be tempted above that we're able. Now, let me. People say at times, and they want to run to this, but it's completely out of context. People say at times, well, God's not going to put more on you than you can bear. That's not true. Sometimes God does put more on us than we can bear to crowd us closer to Him. That will even move closer to Him, that will spend more time with Him. Lord, I can't handle this. There is no way. You've got to give me grace and comfort and strength and peace and all these things I need that I can handle this. I know sometimes He does, and it makes us more dependent upon Him. I mean, I know folks that have gone through horrible, horrible things. The loss of a child or the loss of a loved one, or a terrible disease, or whatever the case may be. And it's like, oh, I can't handle this by myself. So there are times that He does put pressure on us like that, that we'll just seek Him more. But here it's talking about temptation. Temptation to what? Blow up. Temptation to blow up. Be irritable. Lose it. I mean, many other things, but what we're talking about here in its context. God is faithful. He's not going to suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Well, I just can't seem to control myself. Oh, no, that's what we're talking about. God can help us control. But at times we cannot control ourselves. But God, with God's help, we can control. With God's help. For sure. It says that He'll make a way of escape. When the temptation comes, He'll make a way of escape. What's that going to be? Well, it may just be the plan that we just looked at, the stop plan. We don't have to be irritable. We don't have to be. Well, that's just the way I am. Well, no, that's not, but it's not the way you should be. And so we don't have to be. Because God says He'll make a way. Well, what do you think that might be? Well, for some, it may just be biting your tongue till it bleeds. I don't know. Just don't let that come out of your mouth. I mean, we have to have a plan, don't we? Lord, don't let me do this. Don't let me be like this. I mean, God will make a way. And the more I do believe this, I absolutely believe it, the more that we practice this, to stop, even in mid-sentence, and repent, and then ask, and to trust for the promises, and to obey the Lord, and to have a plan for all this, I do believe that if we are really seeking to overcome this in our life, and we want to be better about this, that when that time comes, it might just be, the way out of it might just be that we immediately say, Lord, I don't want to be like this, before we ever let anything happen. It says God will make a way of escape. Well, maybe he'll just say, you just need to be quiet. It's best if you don't say anything at this point. Come on, God is able to speak to our heart, isn't he? Truly. And he wants to help us in areas like this. And again, we're talking about that sin which is so easily beset us. It may be that way for somebody. It's going to be hard. You know why? Because changing habits is always hard. And there's some reprogramming, some retraining we have to do. Allow God to do some things in our life, in our heart, but don't give up on this. Because I tell you, it will make for much more joy in your life. I mean, if we're not irritated, if we're not irritable, it gives us more of a chance to be happy, doesn't it? And it's crazy that we can get irritated and be mad for a long time after that if we're not careful and stew on it. That's not what God wants. That's not the example we're supposed to be. So don't give up. Just decide you're going to start winning this battle. I mean, today. Lord, help me. I don't want to react like that. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to hurt people just by being irritated just because things aren't going the way that I think they should go or what I had planned or whatever the case may be. And trust that God's always there for us because he's always there for us. You know? Even when we blow it, I like that part. Even when we blow it, God is there. He's just waiting for us to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I just need your help in this. I just need you to guide me, direct me, give me grace, give me strength. Help me to be more like your precious son. That's what he has for us, for sure. I don't know. Hopefully this lesson is going to help someone somewhere. I know that it's helped me some along the way. Very thankful for it, for it being.
Wow, what a blessing.